G'day, and welcome to episode 5 of the Let Them Speak podcast. This week's episode is named Speech Pathology Meets Student Voice. Dr. Small is out doing admin duties at Central Administration Offices today, or wherever she is, and we have a special guest moderator with us, so go ahead and introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Tracy Haggerty, and I'm an assistant principal here at Cape Central High School, and excited to be with you today.
Thank you so much for joining us, and we have two very special guests with us. I'm going to let them introduce themselves.
I am Carrie Priest, and I'm a speech pathologist at Central High School. I have been here for 18 years.
I'm Kelly Snyder, and I'm a speech pathologist at Cape Central High School also. This is my 7th year at the high school.
All right. So, with speech pathology, what does that involve? Like, so what's day-to-day? What are you doing? What are your responsibilities? And just what are you in charge of as a speech pathologist?
Typically, speech pathologists in the school setting work with students who have speech and language disorders. So, for example, speech includes fluency, articulation, voice. Language would include vocabulary and semantics, word meaning, word order, verb tenses, social interaction, autism, a little bit of everything.
And also another thing that we do here at the high school is we are case managers for students with IEPs also. So we have to make sure that they're getting the services that they need. We coordinate meetings with parents and do a lot of legal things. We also work on transition after high school, what they plan to do after they leave us here at CHS.
Awesome.
Very good. So tell me, ladies, in your role in working with language, I'm sure that, you know, speech and the just practice and art of language is important to you. So what does student voice mean to you?
Well, in the realm of speech pathology, we typically consider expressive and receptive language skills. So there are two modalities under each area. So expressive language includes speaking and writing. Receptive language includes reading and listening. So that's what we were taught in our training, and that's kind of what I think of when student voice is brought up according to SLPs.
If we are working with a student, they have some sort of difficulty communicating. And so I think when we talk about student voice, it's why we're here, to make sure that students that may have difficulty communicating, it's our ultimate goal that they can be heard. And sometimes that may not even be vocally. That may be through a computer assistive technology device or something.
Good. So in these skills that you work with and the areas you work with, and we understand that student voice is so important to establish the culture of our building. So how do you encourage those kids with those communication deficits to make sure their opinions are heard, to make sure their ideas are being shared?
Well, we definitely welcome their input. I think it's important to find out from each student which techniques work best for comprehension and learning. We are very fortunate that we're able to see the students in a very small setting. So as opposed to 25 kids in a classroom, we may have a small group, you know, 2, 3, or 4 kids, where we're able to individualize our lessons and use their input to tailor our lessons according to what works for them.
Great.
So I think of speech pathology as those kids that obviously need a speech pathologist with them. I think that student voice starts there, especially, and when we talk about kids that aren't speaking out, an example that I like to use is educators not asking their students, how do you learn best, or how can I teach you better, if you will, so you can master whatever the objective is. I think that maybe speech pathology builds student voice. Maybe speech pathology is where student voice starts. So with that, do you think that other teachers in the building know what a speech pathologist does and develops?
I have a tendency to say no initially. You know, we are often referred to as a speech teacher. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, a lot of people assume we fix R's and L's and S's, things like that. Those who have had personal history with speech pathologists through family members who maybe have, you know, had a stroke or something like that, they have a little more understanding of what we can do in totality. We are more limited in the school setting to what we can do. So those teachers that work with IEP students, I do believe they have much more of an understanding than just your normal teacher who doesn't interact with IEP kids.
So do you have kids that you're, do you have kids in your class that say, you know what, I need you to show me this way so I'm going to understand it better? Or is it just a, let me take it from my perspective as a speech pathologist and just run with it that way?
I think sometimes our students have trouble actually understanding that they have a problem.
Yeah.
Communicating, and sometimes that's part of our job is to make sure that they, where we may have to stop them and say, hey, you know, you're doing this way. Sometimes we have to kind of guide them back into a way that they can communicate effectively. They're learning in the best environment, whatever it may be. I don't know if that answered your question.
Well, it does. And before Haggerty asks you the next question, I just want to know if you guys ever, I don't know how a typical class time is for you, but do you ever ask your students, like, what can I do in this class to make your experience better? You know what I mean?
Definitely. It's definite trial and error. You know, we may be working on history with them or science with them using the vocabulary words, but we find out what works best for them to retain and comprehend the meaning and to be able to go to the classroom and use those vocabulary words in the correct way. We are very fortunate that by the time the students get to us, they've been through 9 years of speech pathology or 10 years through speech therapy. So a lot of the times they come to us and we know what has been working, so we just continue with that.
And a lot of the times they may have spent years relying on their speech pathologist, maybe sometimes too much, and it's kind of our goal to step back and let them kind of work on their own and bloom on their own away from always having us nearby.
Or at that level where they need to gain that independence.
Because they're only with us for a little bit, and then our job is to make sure that they're ready to have a voice in the world from there on, so and whatever that may look like.
Mm-hmm. And we definitely want them to advocate for themselves, to learn to advocate for themselves what they need in the classroom from the teachers, whether it's, you know, extended time or to go downstairs to a learning center. We want to develop that independence so that when they leave here, they continue to advocate for themselves in a job setting or post-secondary education.
Just say, hey, I have a language disorder, or I have ADHD, or I have this diagnosis, I struggle with social skills, for them to say, you know, if they're in college, hey, I need to have, I had an IEP in high school, I need to have this extended time or extra help with my test. And sometimes that's really hard to even train them to even do that because of the nature of their disability.
Yeah, so I like to think of your position as speech pathologist as you are the implementation of student voice for those who, like you said earlier, that don't feel like aren't prepared to speak out necessarily.
Or they have a disability that's holding them back from being, that's holding their voice back.
Yeah, so you guys are really the game changers when it comes to those students that aren't putting their voice forth.
Kind of scary.
Hopefully.
That's a big responsibility.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think you talk about advocacy. I think about you as advocates of communication.
Yeah.
Like you are helping our students who lack those skills learn how to use them to make a change and share their ideas and opinions in order to force that change. So that's awesome. It's a big responsibility, though.
Some days you're like, wow, I made a difference. And some days I'm like, oh, they hate me. You know, so it's the nature of what you do sometimes.
Do you guys have any other things that you'd like to add to the podcast?
You know, I don't think so. I will say that, you know, with my entire time being in the school, working in the school, I've only been in the secondary setting, and it's been for 18 years. Graduating from grad school, I never saw myself working in a school setting. I always wanted it to be medical, and I did that for 4 years. Looking back, though, the school has been my favorite setting. I really enjoy the older kids, working with them. I learn from them as much as they learn from me.
And I worked in the medical setting. I've worked in education and early intervention, and that was one thing that once my children became school age, I'm like, oh, I think I want to go and be on their calendar. And so it just worked out. I kind of wanted to be back in the schools, but I love being in the schools. I love the school community, the school environment, and it's the one of the best places for a speech pathologist to be, in my opinion, because there's just always something fun going on. There's excitement. Anyway,
like you stated earlier, language is so much bigger than just speech patterns or vocabulary. It's learning how to communicate with other people and advocate and and kind of have those conversations with other people, so that your social skills, I mean, that's a big part of it, is developing those social skills for communication. So it's really good work that you ladies do.
Thank
we appreciate you,
you
very
you.
Much.
All right, so at this time in the podcast, we are going to open it up to the students in the classroom to talk about student voice, if they had anything to say. So we're kind of putting you guys on the hot seat. Anything about student voice that you'd like to put forth?
What do you mean student voice?
Student voice as in, or let me just ask you this. When was the last time one of your teachers asked you, did you learn from the lesson today? Never?
It's been a while.
Yeah.
This priest asked me that, and we told her no, because we think the advisory stuff is kind of down the date.
Okay. So when it comes to speaking up in the classroom, do you feel like a door is being opened up for you to do so?
No.
Do you ever put your comments forth? And what is the reaction from the educator in the classroom?
Very defensive.
Why do you think that is? Do you think it's like a control problem, or?
I think they take it personally.
Yeah.
Take it personally. Where do you think we could be at if they didn't take it personally and they took it constructively?
I mean, the students would learn more. I mean, you'd have like a better environment, like a learning environment with like feedback and more success from the students.
All right. Thank you guys so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks for tuning in to Episode 5, Speech Pathology Meets Student Voice. Go to letthemspeak.net for more information on how student voice can transform your school. Next week, we are bringing Jennifer Cribley to the podcast, a social studies teacher, to talk student voice involving her subject area. Thanks so much.